parents. It's through the kindness and the kind treatment of our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. And to your parents, Allah has made it obligatory ihsan. Al-birr. Al-birr means ihsan. And ihsan means al-birr. Kind treatment. And this kind treatment means not just with your bodily limbs. It just doesn't mean, but it also includes taking out the garbage for them, washing the clothes for them, feeding them, helping them to have shelter when they need it, making sure that their shelter is adequate, making sure that they have heat in the winter, making sure that they're cool in the summer, that they're comfortable. It also means from your statements, kind treatment and ihsan from your statements, from your tongue, to talk to them with lutf, with rifq, with lean, with compassion. All of this is included in this ayah. And if any one of them becomes old, if both of them becomes old, or one of them becomes old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his hikmah baligha, and in his wide expanse of wisdom, he didn't leave any, proverbially speaking, any basis uncovered. Because someone might come after this ayah was revealed and say, oh, it's only talking about the two parents. أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. One of them or both of them. For those of us who didn't treat our parents kindly, and then Allah took your mother, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist, no matter what she was, Allah took your mother, or he took your father, your Pentecostal father, or your Sikh father, or your Buddhist father. Because it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference at all what they were. Allah says, one of them or both of them. One of them or both of them when they become old. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't say to them, and at this particular point, I wish I did have a microphone because maybe you won't be able to hear what uf is. Uf is this. And I'm sorry that maybe you couldn't have heard, you couldn't hear that. Uf is simply just sucking your teeth. If you do that, it's haram. This is not part of the birr walidain. This is not part of the ihsan. This is not part of the righteousness and the kind treatment to your parents just to suck your teeth like this. Or anything less than that. And Allah chose the right word for it. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. And أُفْ in the Arabic language is louder than what it actually means. Just that. Don't say even that to them. You want to build up the society? You want to make your masjid a masjid on the Dawah to Salafiyya? You want to make your masjid in your center like that? Then how do you treat your mother? How do you treat your father? While you're talking about raising the pants above the ankles and talking about people shaving their beards, and then you leave the masjid or having that argument or discussion with the brothers or the sisters when they don't want to wear niqab and you do, and then you go to your mother and you say, you committed a haram. You consider that the manhaj of the Salaf? This is not the manhaj of the Salaf. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues by saying, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And don't be repulsive to them. Don't turn away from them. Don't treat them in a manner other than the manner that Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered you to treat them. And say to them, another commandment from Allah, and say to them a word that is honorable. Even if you don't like what they're telling you to do, at 63 years old, you're 63 years of age, if they tell you to come and wash the dishes, don't repel them. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. You better get off the phone, get in your car that Allah blessed you with, that you should use for the da'wah and use for kind treatment to your parents, and rush to them to wash those dishes. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say a word that is honorable. And then Allah says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And then lower the wing of humility to them from mercy. مِنْ بَابِ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower the wing of mercy to them, to both of them, especially your mother, from ar-rahma, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was kissing Hassan or Hussein, and one of the companions said, I have 10 children, in a boastful manner, as some of the Arabs used to do at that time. I have 10 children. I don't kiss any of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من لا يرحم لا يرحم. Whoever doesn't show mercy will not be shown mercy. So Allah is telling us, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلَّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower the wing of humility to them out of mercy, from mercy. You want mercy from Allah, الرحمن الرحيم, then you have to lower the wing of humility and mercy to your mother and your father. Even though he's a mushrik, even though she's a mushrika, if we really want to build up the family and make our families Islamic and make our masters Islamic and make our society Islamic, and we're talking about the Islamic society within this place of kufr, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمَهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Now he teaches us a dua to say, whether your parents are Muslim or not, he teaches us a dua to say in regard to our parents, whether they are Muslims or not. And you can go ask Sheikh Ali Hassan if you need a further explanation, or you can ask Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, or you can ask Safwat Nordin. Alhamdulillah, we're here and the people of knowledge are here. You don't have to ask me in doing questions and answers. Ask them what this means. Even if they're mushrikan, even if they're kafiran, even if both of them or one of them are pagans, we have to lower the wing of humility to them out of mercy, and we should make the dua, oh my Lord, cherish them, have mercy on them, have compassion on them, as they had mercy on me and compassion on me when I was small. And even if your mother and some of the brothers here who are not indigenous to this country, you have to excuse me because I try to speak the language of the people and I'm always faulted for using this type of language, but la budda minhu, I have to use it. Even if your mother's a dope fiend, even if your father was an alkie, and you brothers and sisters from America know what I'm talking about, even if she was a dope addict, even if he's an alcoholic, you still should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have rahmah on them. And what is the rahmah here? For that pagan mother and father who are dope fiends and alcoholics. Al-hidayah to Islam. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has instructed us, when the kafir sneezes, we say, Yahdikum Allah wa yuslihu barakum. Yahdikum Allah wa yuslihu barakum. This is what we respond, this is how we respond to the kuffar. Not God bless you. May Allah guide you and correct your condition. May Allah bring you to Islam and send you to Jannah as a result of your interest into Islam. وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمَهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. O my Lord, have mercy on them, have compassion on them, cherish them as they had mercy and compassion on me, and cherished me when I was young. We have the hadith, an athar, from Haythala ibn Mayyas, radiallahu anhu. This hadith or athar from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is found in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, from Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. This narration says, كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر. That I was with the Najdat and I committed a sin of which all of us do. Every single one of us. Some greater than others. Some don't repent for some of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful on us when we commit a major sin. From the hadith of the Prophet from Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ. No slave Muslim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that commits a sin, except that an angel takes 6 hours to write it down, and if the person in nadama wa astaghfar Allah minha, if the person has regret, he has remorse, he or she asks Allah's forgiveness, the angel doesn't write down the bad deed or the sin or the major sin for 6 full hours. If the person repents and seeks forgiveness, the angel doesn't write it down for 6 hours. 6 hours can go by. You have 6 hours to repent for that sin. If you have remorse and you seek the forgiveness of Allah, the angel will throw it away. Al-Qaha, the hadith says. وَإِلَّا كُتِبَتْ وَاحِدًا. And if you don't, and within 6 hours, the angel writes it down. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person said, I was with the Najdat. فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. I was with the Najdat and I committed a sin, a major sin, from among the major sins, مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. I don't see it being any other thing but a major sin. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لِبْنِ عُمَرِ. And I mentioned this sin to Ibn Umar, which gives the proof that you can mention your major sins to somebody that you trust for advice on what you should do. And be careful not to mention it to people who have something against you. To people who you trust, that gives you good advice. I mentioned it to Ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. قال ما هي. He said, what is the sin? What is it? قلت كذا وكذا. كذا وكذا. And we find in this narration, the Arabic language being employed, كذا وكذا, meaning this and that, where he didn't state what he did. He just said, I made a major sin. But he didn't state what he did. He shielded his own sins, as you should do with your brother in Islam. Tether or tether, I did such and such. قال ليست هذه من الكبائر. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar, who knew Islam like no other Sahabi knew Islam. And we're not saying that he was the greatest among them, but he knew this being unlike any other Sahabi. He was the most tenacious on following the Sunnah. ليست هذه من الكبائر هي تسعة. That's not one of the major sins. There's nine. There's nine of the kabair. Listen to them. الإشراك بالله. To make shirk with Allah. To make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقتل النفمة. And to kill people whom you don't have the right to kill. And the nafama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in this hadith on the tongue of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from inspiration. And nafama means that thing that comes out of the mother's womb and the thing that stays in the mother's womb, i.e. abortion. It means also abortion. Qatlun nafama, to kill that thing that has blood in it and has a ruh. وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحَبِ. And to flee from the battlefield في سبيل الله in al-jihad. وَقَضْفُ الْمُحْصَنَةِ. and to unjustifiably, illegally blame a Muslim woman, a mu'mina, with zina. This is of the nine major sins that Abdullah ibn Umar is citing to this companion, this tabi'i, obviously, who thought that he had committed one of them. وَأَقْلُ الرِّبَى. And to keep that credit card in your wallet, that Visa, and that MasterCard that you use to come to the Dawah of Salafiyah conference. وَأَقْلُ الرِّبَى. And to eat the riba. وَأَقْلُ الْمَالِ الْيَتِيمِ. And to unjustifiably take the wealth, money, property, camels, food, clothing, or otherwise, of the orphan. And rubbing the head of the orphan is a mercy for you, and you'll get Jannah, inshallah. If you rub it, you'll get Jannah, inshallah, at most, or at least mercy. وَأَكْلَ الْمَالِ الْيَتِيمِ. And to eat unjustifiably the property and the wealth of the orphan. وَإِلْحَادُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And إِلْحَادُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, I want to leave. Because there were too many explanations that I found for this statement. So we're going to ask one of the mashayikh the meaning of إِلْحَاد فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخَرُ. And the one who makes an istihza, who mocks his brother in Islam, who makes fun of his brother in Islam, who makes fun of his sister in Islam, or her sister in Islam, to deride them, to mock them, the one who does this, it's a major sin. It doesn't make any difference if you did it with your tongue or if you thought it. It doesn't make any difference. For just as suspicion of your brother in Islam, as the ulama say, is ghibatul qalb, is the backbiting of the heart, just to mock your brother in your mind is still a sin. You don't have to do it with your tongue. Because perhaps, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, he might be better than you. And Allah knows who has taqwa and who doesn't. And Allah knows who's really righteous and who isn't. وَبُكَاءُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ مِنَ الْعُقُوقِ. And here's the highlighted point. Here's the shahid. And the weeping and the crying and the sobbing of your parents because of your disobedience, your disrespect, your mistreatment of them. They're crying. One tear, a half a tear, a piece of a tear coming out of their eyes is a major sin if you have disobeyed them. As a result of you disrespecting them, you believing in that Sikh God, get out of my face! You say that white hippie on the cross is your Lord, get out of here, Ma. This is not the way of the people of the past. Even though we hate kufr and shirk, to speak to your mother and your father like this, and to make them cry, even though they're crying over their pagan gods, to make them cry, to be disrespectful to them, is a major sin. It's a major sin. قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما. And then Umar, son Abdullah, said to me, أَتَفْرَقُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُحِبُّ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. أَتَفْرَقُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Do you have al-khawf? Do you have al-jaza'? Do you have fear of the hellfire? And do you hope and like, and would you love to be in the paradise and the garden of Allah? قُلْتُ أي والله إيو والله أي أينام والله. Yes, I swear by Allah. Meaning, I swear by Allah, I fear the hellfire, and I want to be placed in the Jannah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, أَحَيٌّ وَالِدُكَ, is your father alive? قُلْتُ عِنْدِي أُمِّي. He said, my mother's with me. Meaning, my father's gone, he has died, and my mother is still alive. قَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَلَنْتَ لَهَا الْكَلَامِ وَأَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةِ مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ. He said, I swear now by Allah. فَوَاللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُمَرَ said, if you were to talk to her with kind, sweet, gentle speech, if you were to lower your voice, not raising your voice to your mother, since she's the only one that's left of your Jannah and your Nar among your parents, if you were to speak to her with kind talk, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa and Harun alayhim as-salatu wa-salam wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik, to speak to Fir'aun who said, ana rabbukum al-a'la, this one who said that I was Allah, your Lord the Most High, Fir'aun. And Allah told Musa and Harun to speak to him with a kind word. How much more your mother? If you were to speak to her with kind, gentle words, وَأَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ, and you were to feed her, not allowing some kuffar in some senior citizen building or some old folks home place a cross over her bed, whether she believes in it or not, and to feed her food, whether it's haram or not, and you not take the responsibility for that, if you were to do all of these things, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةِ, you, and the wording that he used, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةِ, with the noon, with the shadda on it. Noon al-thaqila. Noon al-thaqila. This means, wallahi, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْجَنَّةِ, you will surely enter into the paradise. مَجْتَنَبْتَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Here's the condition. As long as you stayed away from the major sins. As long as you stayed away from backbiting your brother and slandering your brother. All that other stuff you're doing that you think you're getting credit for, but you backbit your brother and you slandered your sister. All the tahajjud, all the fasting in Ramadan, all those things, you slandered your brother. You backbit your sister in Islam. As long as you stayed away from the major sins, you're going to Jannah. This is what we're desiring, brothers and sisters in Islam. This is what we want from Allah, Al-Jannah. You ask somebody walking through the hallways, where are you going now? Where do you want to go? You get into a cab, the cab driver asks you, where are you going? Where do you want to go? You say, Jannah. That's what you should be saying. Jannah. That's where I want to go. Where do you want to go? I want to go to Jannah too. Then treat your parents kindly. Honor your mother and your father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn A'as radiallahu anhuma, that he, the companion, said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتاه رجل, that a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال, يا رسول الله, إن لي مالا وولدا وإن أبي يجتاح مالي. He says, O Messenger of Allah, I have money and I have children. Meaning, I have a lot of money and I have a lot of children. And my father keeps depleting my wealth. He keeps taking from my wealth. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ إِنَّ أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ أَطْيَبِ كَسْبِكُمْ فَكُلُوا مِنْ كَسْبِ أَوْلَادِكُمْ رواه أبو داود. He said, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ, you and your cash belongs to your father. You and your property belongs to your father. وَإِنَّ أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ كَسْبٍ أَطْيَبِ كَسْبِكُمْ. And your children are of the most sweetest, most prized of all your possessions. فَكُلُوا مِنْ كَسْبِ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. So if you want to eat some property and you want to have some goodness, take it from your children. Don't take it from your father. Let your father take your wealth. He has that right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have children, I have money. My father keeps taking my wealth. أنت ومالك لأبيك. You and your father belong, you and your money belong to your father. This is tremendous, brothers and sisters. If we want to talk about building up the family, how this kindness to the parents builds up the family, we need to take another look at the position of our mothers and fathers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يجزي ولد والدا إلا أن يجده مملوكا فيشتريه فيعتقه. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, nothing will be a recompense or an appropriate reward of a child for his parent except that he found his father a slave. The only thing that will free you, the only thing that would make you have relief, the only thing that would get you out of the clutches of being under the threat of Allah's punishment, that would give you the great reward in the next life and make you happy in this life, is that if you found, showing the rights of your father over you, that if you found him mamlukan, fayashtariyahu, and you bought him out of the slave. You bought him out of the slavery. And then you manumitted him. Then you set him free. That's the only thing that will make you have this recompense and this reward from Allah. That's the right that your father has over you. That if you found him a slave, you purchased him and then let him go. Nothing other than that. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these ayat and these hadith and athar has put a heavy weight on our shoulders. When we return to our homes from this trip, we need to rush to our parents and try with all our level best to give them their rights. Because their rights is an obligation on us. Because the opposite of the right is an obligation. If I have a right on you, that's an obligation from you to me, and vice versa. We need to rush home while our parents or parents are still alive. No matter how many arguments we have with them, or how many debates and heated discussions we have with them, Muslims or non-Muslims, and give them their haq, give them their due. For surely on the day of resurrection, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us that even the hornless goat is going to receive its rights from the horned goat that gorged it. Animals. The hornless goat that didn't have the ability to protect itself from the horned goat is going to get its rights. How much more your mother and your father. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Alhamdulillah, a very good lecture, and inshallah, Allah will help us to realize this knowledge for this lecture, for everything that we're doing in Islam, just as a reminder that if we don't put this knowledge into practice, it's not really knowledge, it's not really part of us. So, inshallah, Allah will inspire us to act upon the things that we learn. We have about 20 minutes before the break. So at this time, if there's any kind of questions, and again, I ask that you keep them to this particular topic. I know everybody has so many questions, especially when you come to this conference and there are scholars and sheikhs. Everybody has so many questions about so many different topics, but for this lecture, whatever questions you have about parents, taking care of your parents, anything that Dawood Adib has spoken on, question
here. Invent that. You know, there's your parents are dead, at a young age, and you were raised by members of the family. Do they still receive those rights to the good kids?
Well, that. The brother's asking the question for those people who couldn't hear. If the mother and father both passed and the person was at a young age and someone else in the family took care of those individuals, for instance, like a grandmother or grandfather or uncle or aunt or someone like this, do they still deserve the respect and honor that the parents would have received if they would have stayed, remained alive? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And the ulama have explained this in the books of fiqh, and the explanations of hadith, in ala, as they say, going upward, that the respect and honor that is due to your mother and your father, going upward towards your grandmother and your grandfather, and going over to your uncles and your aunts is the same. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-khalatu li manzilati al-umm, for instance, that the aunt, the maternal aunt, is on the same level as the mother. She's on the same level as the mother. The answer is yes, alhamdulillah, and this is something that we should be very mindful of. We should be very mindful of our uncles and our aunts on both sides, and our grandparents on both sides. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them over us, then we should respect them and honor them. Except, of course, if they try to make us commit shirk or kufr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The family is the family, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the person asked, "Man afarru," who is more in need of my respect and my honor? He said, "Ummaka." And he said, "I said, man afarru." He said, "Ummaka, your mother." And he kept saying, "Your mother, your mother." And he said, "After that, abaka, your father." And then he said, "Who after that?" In the other narration, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thumma al-aqraba fal-aqrab." Then the closest relatives on this side, and then the closest relatives on that side. And Allah knows best.
No. Perhaps you can correct our understanding, the statement that the mere thought of strengthening the brother is a waste of spend in light of the statement that the sin is not committed and it is not acted upon.
The question was, please give us some clarification on the mere thought of backbiting, I think you said, is a major sin. I don't remember saying it was a major sin. I said it was a sin. And I hope that the tape was brought at the time that I made that statement. I didn't say that it was a major sin, I said it's a sin. The ulama say, "Az-zannu ghibatul qalb." That suspicion is the backbiting of the heart. Backbiting, no matter which way it comes, is a sin. If it's done with the tongue, it's a major sin. If it's done with the mind, it's a sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And to have mockery of your brother, to mock your brother in your mind, we mentioned that this is not a major sin, we mentioned this is a sin. And we also mentioned that you can ask the ulama who are present for a clarification of this, further clarification, inshallah. And Allah knows best.
Okay, we're going to take a couple of questions, hand it in, and then we go back to the audience.
Is it permissible to cut all ties with your parents if they are totally against your religion? While I go to the hellfire, Allah is legitimate enough, even if I still treat them with kindness, I don't know. If you have a parent that separates themselves from the family and does not take care of the elderly parent, should you take that responsibility? Fear Allah as much as you can and do as much as you can regarding your family. The dua for the parents that you mentioned, can you make that for the non-Muslim parents? And we mentioned this in the beginning, that this is for the non-Muslim parents too. And we also mentioned, for further clarification, you can ask the people of knowledge who are present. I know you better
keep. What's the responsibility of one of your parents if you were adopted and later you find out who your parents are?
The responsibility to your parents, your adoptive parents, or your natural parents? Your responsibility to the people who rear you, they're feeding you, they're clothing you, they're giving you shelter, there should be some honor and some respect. And if your parents, you already know the answer. Now,
if you have the legal knowledge and your parents are not with you, they don't understand that the person has legal knowledge. She doesn't want you to go out of the country, but she's young, she helps you. Do you leave anywhere to go talk to her?
The question is, if you're trying to be a student of knowledge, or you're a student of knowledge, and then if you want to go and study abroad or something like this, and your mother or your father or your mother specifically doesn't understand Islam, she's not a Muslimah, and she doesn't want you to go, and she's healthy, and she has the ability to take care of herself, inshallah, you can ask your Ali Hassan or one of the others and they give you the answer. If your father orders you to take him to a place that is haram, a nightclub or a bar, so as to drop him off there, must we obey? Absolutely not. The answer is no. Number two, what is the duty of the daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law? Is it the same to her mother? As long as she doesn't make you commit shirk and kufr.
He is found in the ayah, Surah Al-Nur, where Allah said, "I brought you out of the womb of your mother. So I gave you sight and hearing and a heart."
Saying to her mother, as long as she doesn't make you commit shirk and kufr.
He is found on the ayah, Surah Al-Nur, where Allah said, "I brought you out of the womb of your mother. So I gave you sight and hearing and a heart that you might be faithful."
The brother is mentioning a verse in Surah An-Nur on where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the meaning that he said, Allah brought you out of your mother's wounds, knowing nothing, and then he gave you sight, etc., etc., etc. Inshallah, we can ask the people of knowledge about the meaning of this ayah. Inshallah. And alhamdulillah, some people may be disturbed. They might think that this is not the Dawood Adib that they are familiar with. Well, just like Tide and other products in the supermarket, this is the new and improved Dawood Adib. Does a Muslim man have the responsibility for his Muslim wife's parents? The responsibility of the Muslim wife's parents is on the Muslim's brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. You understand? It's their responsibility. It's your wife's brothers and sisters' responsibility. Unless the person didn't complete the question and they're saying that the person lives with them. If the parent lived with you, then she's your mother. You consummated the marriage with her daughter, she's your mother. She's not like your mother, she is your mother. Now, what you can do for your deceased parents if they're Muslims, and we hope that you're righteous so that the dua will benefit them, because if you're not righteous, then the dua won't benefit them. You can make dua for them. It's one of the three things that after a person dies that will benefit them. They have ولد صالح يدعو له. He has a righteous child that makes dua for him. As for the non-Muslim parents, there's nothing you can do for them after they die. Nothing. No dua whatsoever. It is haram to make dua and istighfar, forgiveness, for them while they're alive, to ask Allah for barakah or blessings for them while they're alive or while they're dead. Doesn't make any difference. And for the proof of this, you can check Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verses 80 through 84. The explanation is clear. Verses 80 through 84 of Surah At-Tawbah, chapter number 9. It is not permissible to make dua for your parents that are kuffar while they're alive. Dua of asking forgiveness and blessings. You ask Allah to guide them only. And after they're dead, it's over. As your parents that are Muslims that died, of course you make dua for them. You ask Allah to make their grave spacious for them and to give them the highest place of Jannah.
I'd like to expand on that question that you just read out, the last one. In the case where you have women who've gotten married and they've left the house, they're living with their husband, a lot of time we see in our community that people feel that they don't have any more responsibilities over their parents, even though maybe their parents are living by themselves, they're fine and healthy. Can you address that? Did I make myself clear?
No.
Okay. It's like parents have two daughters. Both daughters get married, and they're living with, in their respective houses with their husbands and their families. What rights do they still have on their parents? I mean, what are their responsibilities? The women's responsibilities to their parents. They don't have any brothers, sisters.
Once again, the general, for those who didn't hear, for instance, the scenario is you have two blood sisters who get married, alhamdulillah, and they leave the home. They're living outside of their mother's home or their father's home, or both. What is the responsibility of those two to their parents? And we're talking about long distance, or in the same state, or same vicinity?
Either way.
Either way it goes, of course, if they're in the same vicinity, the responsibility is still there. The huquq, the rights of the parents are still there. Doesn't make any difference. Even if it's long distance, we have to make sure that they're comfortable, we have to make sure that they're doing well, at least call them, fax them, do something. We have to treat them kindly. Geographical proximity does not dissolve or delete or expunge or separate the person's rights that Allah has put on them. Geographical proximity has nothing to do with it. And in fact, if you have the ability, you should be striving to live close to them. For some of you who have, Allah has blessed with, quote, good job, end quote, you're an accountant, you're a carpenter or a plumber, you have the ability to get up and go get another job. Accountants are needed all over the place. Your mother lives in Seattle, Washington, and you live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you should get the newspaper from Seattle, Washington, and move to be close to your mother and father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No, I'm going to come around. Oh, let's get this younger brother here, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. He's not of us who doesn't have mercy on his young ones. And we'll answer your question first.
No,
not the exact, not you, the younger one. Sorry. If the wife doesn't want the son, the husband?
If the husband doesn't want the wife to go to her parents.
Oh, the husband doesn't want the wife to go to her parents. Yeah, this happens quite a bit. I've seen this happen quite a bit, where the parents live right there in the same city and they don't want them to go to their parents' home. If the reason
is because, for instance, there's children involved. Let's give an example, there's children involved. They don't want their children going to the house, for instance, on the day, yesterday, the so-called Christmas, because there's the tree there, and there's the presents there, and there's cook for the ship. If he's talking about, something like this, then of course this is wajib on him not to let them go there. It's obligatory on you to keep your children from that kind of situation. But if you're talking about in general, and the parents, those in-laws, are not making war on Islam, meaning they're not cursing and abusing Allah and the names of Allah outwardly, because anyone who's a Kafir, they're going to be cursing and blaspheming the name of Allah anyway, by virtue of them being a Kafir. Right? But if they're not outwardly opposing you, and they're kind and they're respectful people, then I don't see the reason why a person should keep them away from them. In fact, this is a part of his duty towards helping his wife fulfill her duty. He will get some of the reward of his wife if he allows her to go see her friends. If he doesn't do it, we should ask those people of knowledge here to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's verdict is pertaining to the person who disallows his wife to see her parents. Inshallah. Now.
Can a child lie to his father because his father don't like his mother? By helping his father with some wealth that he got or things that his father needs from him.
Can a child deny his father of what?
Because his father don't like his mother.
You're talking about stepchildren?
No, stepchildren. The child's father likes the child's mother.
The natural parents?
Yeah.
The child doesn't like the mother?
No. The father doesn't like his son.
His father doesn't like his own son? Wait a minute. It's early in the morning, 9:41.
The father don't like his wife or the child's mother. The father doesn't like the child's mother.
He doesn't like his own wife?
The father has two wives.
Oh, he has two. Now you're making it clear. He has two wives. Okay. He's not going to support his father in the polygyny, in anything. So the question is, what is the question?
Can the child do or ask what he asks for denying his father or
reporting
his father?
Allahu A'lam. I don't know. After all that, I don't know. No.
You know, in reference to the question that you was asked earlier about the breaking of relationships, and I believe that the hadith of the Prophet said that whoever breaks the ties of relations will not enter Jannah. Could you explain that in reference to what you said you didn't know what that hadith means?
No, I don't know. I don't know the meaning of the hadith. But I do know that if you keep your family ties, you keep the silatul rahim, it will increase your life. A person who wants their life, and thank you, and their money, ahsanta, Allah is going to feed. A person, another narration, their money. If a person wants to make their life longer on this earth, then they should keep their family ties, they should keep the connection of their family ties, and it will increase their lives on this earth and their money, according to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amin wa ya. What right does a Muslim father, stepfather have with the children? The same thing that you say the right that the stepfather has with the children, his stepchildren? Is that what you're saying? To the best of my knowledge, you say right or responsibilities? Are you saying, do you mean obligations when you say right? That's what you mean. The obligation that he has on them is to teach them Islam. He doesn't have the obligation to feed them. He doesn't have the obligation to clothe them. He doesn't have the obligation to do anything other than what their father is supposed to be doing. Their father is supposed to be taking care of this. If he does anything other than that, or does what their father is supposed to be doing, then this is a sadaqah for them. The obligations that they have is different. They have to obey him because they're in his house. They have to obey him. He's the imam of the house. And Allah knows best.
This is the last question.
Last question written or last question told? Is the father still wali, even if he is not a Muslim? What is his role of participating in the nikah? No, this is not pertaining to this topic, inshallah. We don't want to be disrespectful, but Brother Jameer, he said that this should be revolving around the topic, and this one is on this, on the wilaya and nikah. Not on birr al-walidain wa huquqihima. It's not on righteousness and righteousness and responsibilities to the parents. Inshallah. Actually, the person who is in charge of this is Jameel. Whatever he says goes. And if I were you, I would let him have it because he has had it, but he already had the question. If I were you. Because he already had a question. And he didn't, he didn't have it.
I'm going to end everything.
Alhamdulillah. Allah, you better speak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.